John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. While you're turning there, one more update I wanted to mention. I forgot to mention earlier. Sister Betty gave me a call the other day and gave my wife a call and gave us an update. She was recently involved in a car accident, and it sounds like it was fairly serious, where she had to go get checked out in the hospital, but thankfully they released her, and she is home recovering now, but I think she is a bit shaken up, and her car, I think, is probably totaled. And so if you want to give her a call, encourage her, that would be a blessing. Pray for Sister Betty, and she's been hoping to come back to church soon, but health issues are now, this has come up, but so keep her in your prayers. John chapter 15, I'm going to ask Brother Josh, would you turn this up just a tad for me, please? Thanks, brother. And we'll start reading at verse number 13 this morning. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Let's stop here and let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we just thank you again for this time. And as we open up your word, we pray your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us into all truth. Lord, would you encourage our hearts with these scriptures? Lord, these are such precious words that you gave to your disciples moments before you would be taken to Calvary on the cross to be crucified. And Lord, you shared your heart with them, and I believe with all of us today. And I pray that we would catch the understanding of this text, and that you would glorify and exalt yourself in our midst this morning. Fill me with your Spirit's power. Enable me to preach your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This morning I want to preach, what a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "No man is an island." And that popular phrase comes from an old English poem written by John Donne. And that poem basically outlines the reality that no person on earth is self-sufficient. I know we have people that like to walk around with their heads up high. I'm a self-made man. But that's really impossible. No human being on the face of the earth is truly self-sufficient. Everyone relies on others, except for God. Only God is truly self-sufficient and truly independent. In our lives, we depend on one another. And most importantly, we are to depend on the Lord. We can't get through a day without depending on the Lord. So we are dependent beings, but God himself is an independent being. Did you know, God didn't have to create you and me. He was perfectly fine all by himself. And by the way, what we're going to look at this morning about the beauty of the relationship we have with the Lord, in the Trinity, God already had fellowship. By the way, that's an argument we can bring to our Muslim friends and others who deny the Trinity, that God doesn't lack anything, even fellowship. Because he already had that in the Trinity. So he had no need for you and me. But we have a desperate need for God. We desperately need God. But we all have to depend. We're all interdependent. That's how God made us. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7, the Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." So the Bible teaches us that we were made for friendship. We were made for relationship. Each and every one of us was created with the capacity to have social interaction, to have community, to have friendship. And you know what? Serious problems occur when you don't have those things in your life. When people are deprived of community and relationship and interaction with others, serious problems occur. Maybe you've even seen stories or read articles, I know I have, of maybe young children that were abused. And they were just kept in a closet their whole childhood. And they never really interacted with anyone. You know what? They have serious developmental disabilities because of that. Mm-hmm. And doctors and sociologists tell us that there needs to be the social interaction at an early age, even, that human beings need. Isn't that incredible? That's how God made us. God made us to have society, to communicate, to fellowship one with another. All of us have this natural, God-given desire for friendship, companionship. We all need fellowship. By the way, this is why the local church is so important. This is why the local church, the ecclesia, literally the assembling together of God's people, is so crucial. And a Zoom meeting can't cut it, by the way. A Facebook live stream can't cut it, by the way. That's just a temporary thing. We need to have this fellowship, this union, this community with believers. That's how God made us. You know, the last 6 months, everyone's been cooped up in their homes, but we're not meant to live that way. Did you know that? Maybe you already know that because you're driving each other crazy at home. We're not meant to live cooped up and isolated from one another because we're meant to have community. That's something that's imprinted on our heart, and that's how God designed us. And I believe it's wonderfully fulfilled in family relationships, the husband, wife, children. It's wonderfully fulfilled in the church. As I look around each and every one of us, we have different backgrounds, different stories, but we all come together because we share that bond in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. But you were made for friendship. More importantly, you were made for friendship with God. I hope you have some good friends in your life. I hope you have some people in your life that maybe you can turn to that are in your corner, that encourage you, that challenge you from time to time. But more importantly, you were made for friendship with God. God does not just want us to know about Him. God wants us to truly know Him in relationship, to experience His friendship. So here in our passage, what does it mean to be friends with Jesus? Or more importantly, what does it mean when He calls us His friends? Because that's what He says here. You're my friends. What does that truly mean? Jesus spoke these words to the disciples as they stood in the upper room. We call this part of the upper room discourse. And this is the night before He would be taken to be crucified. In John chapter 13 through 17, by the way, some of the most precious scriptures where the Lord opens up His heart to His disciples and He just shares His burden, His love, His prayers for them. But here in this wonderful text, He calls them and He calls us by extension His friends. Number one this morning, what a friend we have in Jesus. Number one, friends define each other's identity. Friends define each other's identity. Jesus gladly calls us friends. You know, it's one thing to be an acquaintance. It's one thing to be an acquaintance, but it's another thing entirely to consider someone your friend. You know, maybe at work you have a lot of acquaintances. You're friendly. You enjoy working alongside them, but maybe you wouldn't necessarily call them your friend. Maybe in school you have a lot of people, you're a classmate, you're friendly, you're polite, you're a good testimony, but you wouldn't necessarily call them your friends. It's a totally different dynamic to call people friends. By the way, in this age of social media, that word friends is tossed around very loosely. I have 2,000 friends on Facebook. Oh, really? How many of them are going to come to your help when you have a big problem? Really? 2,000 friends, right? So the word friends is thrown around loosely, but strictly speaking, it's obviously someone that we share a close bond with. Someone that we love and that they love us. And so friends identify with one another. And here Jesus says that we are more than servants. We are more than servants. Now, first, the reality is we are in fact servants. We are in fact servants. You know James, who's the brother of our Lord, the half-brother of our Lord, in his epistle? In James chapter 1, he doesn't start off the epistle saying, hey, I'm the half-brother of Jesus, and I live with Him, and I know Him. He said, I'm just a servant. I'm a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, the same thing. I'm just a slave to Jesus Christ. So we are servants. By the way, you're a servant to a master one way or the other. You're either a servant to Jesus Christ, or you're a servant of the devil. That's just a fact. You say, preacher, I want to serve myself. You go ahead and do that, you're actually serving the devil. That's what he wants you to do. So you're a servant one way or the other, but we are servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be called a servant, by the way, is a wonderful privilege. It's a great privilege to be His servant. John the Baptist, He marveled at the Lord Jesus Christ. He exalted and magnified Jesus Christ. He said, hey, I'm not even worthy to unstrap his sandals. If I get to do that, that's special. It's a privilege to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think back a few years ago, me and some of my cousins were at a steakhouse in Brooklyn. And I guess it was a well-known steakhouse. And one of the waiters there, he came up to my cousin. He said, hey, you know, years ago, Biggie Smalls came in here and I served him. I waited on him. He was kind of bragging, you know. That's a famous rapper, celebrity from the 90s. And he kind of was bragging, hey, you know, I got to wait on him and serve him steak. And isn't it interesting that people can brag on who they serve in this world? But Christians, we don't brag on serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every day of our lives, we get to serve Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Creator. We're his servants. So being Christ's servant is amazing. But yet in this passage, Christ presents a greater honor here. He brings us in a little bit closer. He says, you're not just servants, though. I want to call you my friends. You're my friends. Friendship is a big deal. Friendship is a big deal because it shows a willingness to identify with people. This can, by the way, be positive or negative. The book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 20, says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So listen, who you associate with, you identify with one way or the other. Birds of a feather flock together, you've heard it said. So by the way, some of you parents, if the junior's hanging around with the wrong crowd, maybe there's something happening in his heart that why does he want to identify with that crowd? So when we have friends, we're choosing to identify with people, and they're choosing to identify with us. And so it's a big deal who we're friends with, isn't it? It matters who we're friends with. But get this, the King and Creator of the universe wants to be your friend. He wants to identify himself with you. And he's not ashamed to do that. The ruler, supreme leader of this entire universe, calls himself your friend. He identifies himself with us. A small boy wants to find a friend as someone who knows all about you and likes you just the same. That's a true friend, that they know the good and the bad and the ugly, and yet they're still your friends. And that's who Jesus is to us. And so, as Christians, we submit to Jesus as our King, as our Lord, while also enjoying him as our friend. We have this close relationship with him. Here in our text in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. I have called you friends. Jesus described the measure and quality of his love for his disciples, because it's more than just a servant-master relationship, it's a friendship. By the way, the relationship between a disciple and a rabbi in that day, they weren't expected to be friends. In that day, someone who was following a rabbi would literally follow a rabbi everywhere. That was what a disciple did. They would go to the marketplace, they would go home with them, they would follow them everywhere, but it doesn't necessarily mean they were friends. It was strictly academic and strictly just taking care of just training them. But with Jesus Christ, it was different. With his disciples, he genuinely loved them. He called them friends. And throughout the gospel records, we see evidence of Jesus being friends with a variety of people. And in fact, his enemies used that to smear his reputation. They called him a friend of sinners. He's a friend of publicans and tax collectors, right? And so they used that against him. They tried to use that. And the Pharisees, in their own self-righteousness and their own self-importance, they kept their distance from the outcasts of society. They kept their distance from the tax collectors and the sinners. But Jesus conversed with them and even dined with them openly, publicly. He wasn't afraid to identify and reach them. Jesus is a friend of sinners, and this is a cause for all of us to rejoice, because guess what? We're all sinners. And yet he chooses to call us friends and to bring us into relationship with himself. You know, what the Pharisees did is not unlike what we often do. We think of the people in society who maybe we're not comfortable being around. Maybe they don't have the same socioeconomic status you enjoy. Maybe they're not from where you're from. Maybe they don't look how you look, and we can be biased towards people. But Jesus wasn't like that. In fact, oftentimes he went directly to those people to reach them, to minister to them. It's very telling. So he's a friend of sinners, but look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." He says, I want to be your friend. You can be my friend too. If you do whatsoever I command you. Now here's what this verse is teaching. Our obedience does not earn relationship with Christ. It proves relationship with Christ. I'm going to say that one more time. Our obedience does not earn friendship. It proves our friendship. In other words, I'm obeying him because I'm his friend, because I'm his child, because I'm his servant, because he's my Lord, I'm going to obey him. That's the way it works. The relationship comes first, and we prove that out through our obedience. But yet we can't overstate that friendship with Jesus cannot be disconnected from obedience to his commandments. You know, a lot of people want to say, yeah, I love the Lord. A lot of people want to put on the t-shirt, Jesus is my homeboy, which I think is a little irreverent, by the way. But a lot of people want to say, yeah, I love the Lord, but are you obeying him? Are you actually following him with all of your life and being? Do you love him with all your heart, soul, and mind? Is that a reality in your life? You're not really proving friendship. And so because we are more than servants, because we are his friends, we can obey him. And in verse 15, he gives us another blessing of being friends with him. He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. They were friends because Jesus didn't keep secrets with them. And he openly revealed the Father's will to them. And Jesus teaches us a lesson about friendship, that friends can confide in one another. Friends can confide. And we have someone who we can confide in as believers. Maybe in your life you have friends that you can confide in. What a blessing it is. I hope you have people you can turn to. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your spouse. But you ought to have people that you can turn to and can pour out your heart to. But if you have no one in this world, praise the Lord, you have Jesus Christ. Amen. You can confide in him. And so he's our friend. But number two this morning, friends love each other. Friends love each other. Go back to verse 13. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Go back to verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So friends love one another. And Jesus Christ proved his love, proved his friendship at the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ proved his friendship, proved his love towards us. Someone said this, prosperity begets friends. Adversity proves them. It's easy when things are going well to have people come around you and kind of be your friend, love you, and encourage you. But when things are going wrong and there's adversity, sometimes they scatter. In fact, that's what happened to the Lord. His disciples scattered, sadly. But Jesus Christ, he knew our deepest, darkest sins. He knew our desperate need. And as a loving friend, he met that need. He sacrificed and proved his love for us by dying on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The implication here is that we are not righteous, we are enemies of God, we are opposed to God, and yet Christ died for us. Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. Because he loves us. And he sacrificed for us. And so we learn an important lesson here, that Jesus' purpose in befriending sinners is not to encourage their sin, but to save them from their sin. When we talk about Jesus loving being friends with sinners, some people have this misguided idea that, hey, you see, you can't condemn homosexuality, you can't condemn adultery, you can't condemn lying, stealing, because Jesus was a friend of sinners. No, my friends, he always taught his people, go and sin no more. Yeah. And he didn't just befriend them to encourage them to stay in their sin. He wanted to save them out of their sin. That's the whole purpose of his ministry. And he died for their sin. So Christ didn't come to earth to indulge sin, but to call sinners to repentance. To repent means to give up your sin and to get right with God. To turn from your wicked sin that's damning you to hell and turn to Jesus Christ who loves you, who died in your place. That was his message. And that's what true friends do. They love, and they're not afraid to love even when it hurts. Not afraid to sacrifice, and he did that for us. So Jesus Christ died in our place, and by the way, he died for us, and in order to do that, he became as one of us. He came in human flesh to identify as us, the Bible says. He humbled himself as a servant to sympathize with our weaknesses, and yet to also die in our place. And Christ did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So now if we turn and believe on him, our sins can be forgiven and we can have a restored relationship with God. So John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love. There is no greater friend than Jesus Christ. Proverbs 18, 24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus Christ. There is no greater friend. There is no greater love. True friends are willing to sacrifice for one another. And as Christians, we could never hope to repay the Lord for all he's done for us. Nor has he asked us to, right? Salvation is free. But yet, out of love, we should live our lives as a living sacrifice for him. Out of love and gratitude, we should live our lives as a living sacrifice for him. Let's be honest, a Christian life is a sacrifice. If you're going to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to leave a lot of money on the table in this world. Let's just be honest. If you're going to be tithing, giving as you should, if you're going to be making sure you're focused on ministry instead of just making tons of money, then you're going to leave a lot of money on the table, aren't you? Yeah. You're going to leave a lot of worldly entertainment on the table when you decide to truly lock in and serve Christ. You're going to miss out on everything the world says. You got to do this. You got to watch this. You got to listen to this. You got to go here. You're going to miss out on that, aren't you?
Yes.
You're going to sacrifice, and yet that pales in comparison. How dare we say it's a sacrifice? It pales in comparison to his sacrifice for us. He died for our sins. So is it a big deal to let go of a few earthly dollars or let go of a few worldly entertainment choices? I think so. True friends will gladly sacrifice for one another. This morning, what sacrifices have you made for the Lord? Or do you only serve the Lord when it's convenient? When it fits your lifestyle? When it fits your budget? When it fits what your peers will think about you, then maybe you'll do something God wants you to do. Or are you willing to sacrifice for your friend? Again, our obedience doesn't earn, but it proves our friendship with him. And true friendship is based on unconditional love. And this great love that Christ has for us is an unconditional love. I want to emphasize this morning. Jesus' top priority is not religion, but relationship.
Amen.
His top priority was not religion, but relationship. In other words, he values friendship before behavior. He values acceptance before performance. Sometimes we reverse the order. If I behave right, then he'll be my friend. If I behave right, then he'll accept me. But no, I'm already accepted. I'm already in relationship with him, and because of that, now I can obey him. Now I can serve him. The priority here that Christ is making is that it's always relationship first. It's always we're accepted in the beloved first. That's always the ground floor. He calls us his friends. And by the way, the analogy he uses in verse number 9 is absolutely incredible. We can't even fathom it. In verse 9, he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." I can't even begin to explain what that verse means. I couldn't even begin to scratch the surface of what that means. As God the Father eternally has loved God the Son unconditionally, without strings, no ifs, ands, or buts, it's the same way the Son loves you and me. Think about this. The Father loved the Son with a love that has no beginning and has no end. Father loved the Son with a love that is close and personal, a love that is without measure, a love that is unchanging. That's the love Christ has for you and me. So that's why it's always about we're accepted in him. We are in relationship with him, and because of that, we can go out and serve him and love him and live for him and honor him. He loves us in this incredible way. Do we love him the same way? Or is our love for Christ fickle, fleeting? Here today, on a Sunday morning, but maybe Monday morning is a little bit different. It's waning a little bit. Thirdly and lastly, friends grow in relationship. Friends grow in relationship. Jesus talked about, because you're my friends, I'm going to reveal the Father's will to you. That's a progressive act. I'm going to continually reveal God the Father's will to you. He reveals himself to us. That's a progressive relationship. So we ought to be growing in our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. You know, as a Christian, when I was a kid, I got saved when I was about 11, 12 years old. And you know what? I ought to be closer to God now as a 32-year-old than I was as a 12-year-old. Do you know that? Yeah. I ought not be on the same plane. My prayer life ought to be dramatically different. The way I talk to him, the way he fellowships with me ought to have grown. I can't just be on the baby bottle my whole life. I have to grow and mature in my service and my fellowship and my love for him. It's always a continually growing relationship. Mm-hmm. Those of you that are married, you can say your love is sweeter as the years go by. Amen. You can say amen right there. Come on, guys. I hope we're not going to set a bad example for the young people here. Listen, I love my wife more today than I did when I first married her. I'll tell you that much. 6 years now, I can honestly say our love is deeper now. I thought I loved her on that wedding day, but I love her in a deeper way now. Amen. And you know what? When we get saved, we start to learn about who our friend Jesus Christ is. And that love ought to deepen and widen and grow as the years go by. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Amen. Is it that way for you? Amen. Or maybe this time last year, it was a little bit sweeter. Amen. Or maybe a few months ago, you had a greater love for him, but if you're being honest, it hasn't really been the way it should. Is there progress in your relationship with the Lord? Has there been growth in your fellowship with him, or have things grown stagnant? You can cultivate that relationship. How do you cultivate a relationship? You just spend time with people. Spend time with the Lord. Maybe it's time. Maybe for the first time in your life, maybe you'll have a dedicated daily time with God where it's just you and your Bible, pray, and you just spend time with your friend. And he spends time with you. And you can grow in your relationship. Here in this passage, Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm the one who chose you. I selected you as my disciples. I had a purpose for you." And sometimes as friends, we can fondly look back at how our friendship came to be. I think of when I was in college, I made some really good friends in college. And some good godly friends that still encourage me to this day. And one of them even introduced me to my wife, amen. But I think about how some of us met, and I remember how just random circumstances and random things that God brings us together, but yet maybe not so random. And maybe we think about how our relationship with Christ began. But in Christ, we can safely conclude that it began with his heart of love towards us. It began with him taking the first move. God always makes the first move. It began with his heart of love seeking after us. And we can rejoice in that. Probably one of the greatest examples in the Bible of friendship is a friendship of David and Jonathan. I almost said David and Goliath right there, but I corrected myself. David and Jonathan. And they give us a wonderful picture of what friendship is like. And their story pictures also how we can be friends with Christ. Think about this. Jonathan was a friend of David, who was the anointed king. Saul was king at the time, but really David was the true king. God had already anointed David. And there's messianic pictures there. And yet, David was Israel's anointed king, and David called on Jonathan in his time of need to demonstrate faithfulness and loyalty and allegiance to him. And Jonathan said in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 4, he said, essentially, David, whatever you say, I'll do for you. Whatever you want, I'll do for you. Even though King Saul, my own father, is the king right now, you're the true king, and you're also my friend. Whatever you say, I'll do. What a wonderful picture of friendship. It's a wonderful picture of friendship with a king because, again, Jesus Christ doesn't have to have anything to do with us. He doesn't have to relate to us in any form or fashion, and yet he does. He brings us near. He calls us not just servants, but friends. And in David and Jonathan's life, Jonathan points forward to all Christians who will follow Christ as a king and also as a friend. Oh, this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, and as a friend? I hope so. If not, you can get that settled today. You can get right with him. You can get saved. Or maybe as a Christian, maybe your relationship has grown stagnant. You can get that going once again. Commit and purpose to grow and cultivate your relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for the friendship that we can enjoy with you. Lord, thank you that you love us with an unconditional love. Lord, we can't even understand that, Lord. So often, we don't love that way, even though we should. But Lord, we just rejoice and worship you this morning for your love. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. Thank you that we can serve you and live for you and please you and honor you and glorify your name. Lord, it's my prayer that each and every one of us would get our relationship with you settled, on track, on fire. Because, Lord, if we don't have that, we will never serve you the way we should. If we don't understand that we're accepted in you, that we're in relationship with you, we'll never act right, we'll never live right, we'll never serve right. Lord, help us to have this love, this compassion that you have for others. Lord, you love even the unlovable. Lord, you call us to do the same. There's a lost and dying world out there. And Lord, help us not to let our own bias get in the way, that we would love people like you love them. We would reach people like you reach them. Lord, give us that heart. With our heads bowed, eyes closed this morning, how many would say, Pastor, I know for sure that I'm saved. I know for sure that I've received salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. I've received Christ as my Savior. If that's your testimony this morning, could you raise your hand nice and high? Say, I know I'm saved. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. Maybe this morning you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. But I want to know Christ in the way you described, where I want to not just know about him, but I want to truly know him. I need to be saved. That's my need this morning. Would you slip your hand up and I want to pray for you. I'm not sure if I'm saved. I want to get that settled today. I'm going to ask our pianist to play through a hymn of invitation. And let's just have a time of prayer even now. Do you know Jesus as your friend? Are you obeying his commandments? The love that he has for you, are you reciprocating that love to him? Well, let's spend some time with our friend this morning. Seeking him.